tonight, if you would, to Luke chapter number 12. A lot of times on Sunday night, I try to get something into the church, and tonight's going to be a fairly simple message, but it's kind of a reminder. You know, we have the politics of this country. We have, I was thinking this morning as we was preaching about Christmas, just as of the last several years, we've had such a battle with Christmas. Nativity scenes, Merry Christmas, and I'll be honest with you, a store that comes out and says we're not going to do Merry Christmas, I'm going to shop somewhere else. And this idea, and somebody, and you know, I wasn't surprised that the president wanted to do away with the last one because I could tell by just the things that he said, things that he'd done, even though he claimed to be a Christian, he never did have Christ where Christ belonged. And you know, if you're really saved, you can't take Christ out of Christmas. And you just can't, if you're really saved, you just can't take Christ out of life. Now, there's a lot of people not saved, but when a person's saved, you just can't do it. But we keep, in this country, it's a shame how much we waste money. I was listening today and where they said that the last senator of Nevada, Senator Reid, spent $22 million on UFOs. And of course, you see things about seeing a shrimp sitting there going on a treadmill and stupid stuff like that. And they throw money at this friend or this donator or this, that. And I really get sick. I get sick of the fact of all the money we're throwing into our cities. It could be solved. A lot of the problems could be solved. What our cities, especially around the minority community, but really in our cities, what we need in our cities are fathers. They're missing fathers in their... I'm not talking about people that produces babies. I'm talking about fathers. I'm talking about people that will take the responsibility of their children and help raise the children, not leave it on some struggling mother. I think I heard something like in the black minority alone, 77% of the children are raised without their fathers. 77%. That's close to 4 out of 5. And they struggle, and of course, the mother working and trying to do it alone. And most of you know, if you've got a two-family household, you know it takes both of you working to make things work the way they need to work, and you got to kind of tag team on some things. And I really feel for single parents. I feel for single parents that are struggling trying to do it. But again, what this country is doing and what the liberals wants to do is just throw money. They throw money at it, and what they're doing is they're trying to get them more interested and educated in sexual activity, the younger and younger and younger all the time. Like that's going to solve the problem. They give them every kind of program in the world to support, and they pick up every time someone has a baby, they want to just give them a little bit more money. I'll never forget one time, it doesn't only happen in the city, it happens in places like here too. I remember one time when I worked for the Ambulance Service going down Macquarie County picking this girl up. I've told you this before, she was 25 years old, having her 13th child. Never had a set of twins. And this was, and I'll guarantee you, half the children that rode, we had to let the little children ride in the back of the ambulance with us. Half the children that rode with us didn't even have shoes on their feet. And she made this statement, and she'd never been married, by the way. And she had 13 children by four different men. And she had this stupid look. I hate to say, use the word stupid. Let me say brutish, okay? That's a little more of a biblical term. She had this brutish look on her face, and she said something like this. Well, I'm going to keep having them as long as they send my check and make it a little bigger. That was her philosophy. And our government has produced that kind of illogical thinking. I said that to say this to you children. Now listen to me a minute, young people. If you got a good father, you ought to be thankful. Not everybody has that. And the sad part about it is, a lot of men think they can just come and go. A lot of men think they can just have a baby and walk off, and it's somebody else's responsibility. And I always felt for women that's been left holding and trying to put pieces together. Now, it's not always women. Sometimes the men does, but a lot of times it's women that get stuck. I said all that to say this. I'm going to begin reading, if you would, in Luke chapter 12. Now, I want to say this. I know some people does not have the father that they need to have. But I just want to say this. I'm glad that we have the best of fathers. And I'm talking of those who are saved. Begin reading, if you would, in Luke chapter 12 and verse 29. The Bible says, and seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of double mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. I fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now, I know this, Brother Rick, I've heard him mention this. This is one of his favorite passages. But he likes the one in Matthew, but it's talking about the same thing. Tonight, I want to deal with what a wonderful Father we have. I want to share with you a couple of things. When Jesus came along, Jesus introduced something that the Jews was not accustomed to. 53 times in the Gospels, Jesus says, my Father. And man, it got the Jews. They hated for him to refer to God as his Father. The reason why is they did not believe that he was the Son of God. But here he comes and he says, my Father. 53 times. And every time he'd say it, if you notice, many times he would say something about his father. There'd be one of the lawyers, one of the Pharisees, one of the Sadducees, one of the scribes jump up and they try to trip him up. And then they'd end up looking like a fool. But you know, then he said something else. As a matter of fact, this passage right before that, if you turn over just a moment, if you notice in chapter 11, the Bible says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, in verse number 1, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, again, people said, well, that's different than the one we're used to in Matthew. But again, Matthew was directing and dealing with some things on the Jewish issue. And Luke deals with a different perspective of Jesus. But what I want you to notice was, I want you to notice that one little phrase there that he used. He said, say our Father. Now, in the Gospels, our Father, Jesus refers to our Father 21 times. In other words, he allows us to come in underneath the Father. Then also, as in the passage we read in chapter 12, twice in these few verses, you'll find your Father 21 times. He refers to your Father, and he's talking to saved people. And so tonight, I want us to look at some things about that he says about your Father, if you're saved. What makes him such a wonderful Father? What makes him an excellent Father? Well, first of all, when you look and you realize that he can be our Father and he was Jesus' Father, you got to understand that there is a relationship. And it's a personal relationship. And so we have a relationship with God. And how can we have a relationship? I know most of you already know this, and I said it's going to be simple, but we are born again into that relationship. We are also adopted. The word adopted in the Bible means to take a son and place him into, or a daughter and place her into a family. In other words, you're born in another family, but you have been placed into this family. And so what we need to understand, that we have all been, if you've been saved, you have been adopted into the family of God. So therefore, we have a personal relationship with God. We can say, our Father. And therefore, he is personal to us. You know, the sad part about it is, I've seen some and I've known some that's had fathers and that abandoned. And the kids would always just try to do everything in the world. I know in our family, we had 48 foster children that we kept. And mom and some of the other kids could tell you, some of those kids were treated horrible by their parents. But very few of them ever came that didn't want to try to go back. Some of them didn't have a father or didn't have a father with them. And whenever they get around that father, they do anything they could to try to get his attention. But I'm glad to say that we have a wonderful Father. We can have a personal relationship with him. And so Jesus says here that we have your Father. He's someone that we can have that personal relationship with. I'm glad, by the way, the part we read in chapter 11, Brother Junior was talking about that the Pope wants to change that. Well, you know, one of these days when the Pope stands before the righteous judge of Jesus, he's got a sad awakening coming. He's going to find that he was not the vicar of Jesus. He'll find out he was not the substitute. He'll find out on that judgment day nobody would be bending down kissing his hand or kissing his feet. He'll find out he didn't have the infallible authority to change Scripture. He'll find out that all these things that he's led all these millions of people down the path, that he'll be accountable and he'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than it will be for him. But here what we have is we also have a very profound relationship. Think about this, and I know I preached on this morning, but just think about it. I like to keep reminding you because sometimes we as Christians, we think too much of ourselves. And sometimes when we're around lost people, if we're not careful, have you ever been around, let me ask you this, how many have ever been around somebody who is saved and they've had this holier-than-thou attitude that just turned people off? Let's see your hands. You ever been that? Nothing sickens me anymore. Now, I understand separation. But sometimes what we do is we forget. That it's very profound that we that was once the enemy of God have been brought into the family of God. We that once was a sinner required Jesus, the Son of God, to come down here. We owe everything we've got to Jesus. We only have a relationship because of what Jesus was willing to pay. So it's very profound. We were damned, doomed, going to hell, and we've been brought into the family of God. And so here he says, your father. Now the Jews didn't have any concept of Jesus or God as a father. They didn't understand. And when Jesus come down here, he got talking about the Father, and he just tore them up. They thought of God as Jehovah, and they had all kinds of names of Jehovah for God. 6,000 times they referred to him as Jehovah in the Bible. Elohim, Adonai, those were the names of God they were used to. They weren't used to Abba. Abba was Arabic for father, daddy. And therefore, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, Paul wrote in verse 15, that because we are saved, the Spirit allows us to come to God as daddy. We can cry, Abba, Father. In other words, when we have something going on in our life, we can come and say, Daddy, I need something. I want both of my kids to have a relationship. To say, if they have a need in their life, I want them to be able to pick up the phone and call me and say, Dad, can you help me out? I tell Chris this a lot of times. I say, if we can help them out, we'll help them out. Not going to be long down the road. It's going to be theirs anyway. So what we have, if we can help them out, this is and they're in time of need of help now, that's the time we help them out. But what I'm trying to make is this. I don't want them to be fearful about calling. I don't want them to be dreadful about calling. I want them to be comfortable to come. Sometimes one will come and say, I hate. I said, don't hate. I cry. I don't cry. If you need something, ask me. If it's within my power, I'll try to help you out. That's what I want to do. But you know, that's what he does. He says, listen, I want you to come and say, Daddy. You have need of something? He already knows what you have need of. He wants you to come to him. You know, sometimes I'll find out something or Chris will tell me something. And she said, this is going on. So when I get the call, I'm already expecting it. And so I don't mind. If I can be of help, I'll be of help. They're my children. I want to be there for them. Last thing I want you to notice about a relationship is it's a permanent relationship. You can't ever sever. You can break your fellowship with God, but you can't ever break your relationship with God. Once you're brought into the family of God, you are permanently a child of God. It's good to know that, isn't it? Somebody said, well, preacher, I don't feel like what I've done, I deserve to be a child. Well, now that's a different story, but that doesn't make you any less of a child. The prodigal felt that way too, but the father didn't feel that way at all. The father, when he saw him coming, he run and put his arms around him, kissed him on his neck, told him to kill the fatted calf, put a ring on his finger, put shoes on his feet. You know why? He didn't feel like the way the prodigal did. Had the prodigal wrong? Absolutely. But thank God for the father's love, amen. Then I want you also to notice this. Look back in your Bible in verse 30. The Bible says, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your father knoweth that ye have need of these things. I want you to know that he's aware. He's aware of what we need. Isn't it good to know that he knows all things? He's aware of all things. In verse 24, back there, it says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? I like to talk to Brother Junior about his fowls. He learned so many valuable lessons. And he tells me stories about his birds, things he learns. He watches nature. He watches the squirrels, dogs, and so forth. He learns things. And he conveys it. And young people, can I tell you something? When someone's been around a few years, has some wisdom like that, and they notice, listen what they're saying. Pay attention to it. You'll learn a lot. And then not only is he aware of everything we need, also he has the ability. He knows in verse 31, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. In other words, he says, not only does he know what you need, but if you're seeking the kingdom of God, he's got the ability that he can give them to you. Now, sometimes my kids may come and say, can you help me here? I said, I just don't have that ability. But our Father has the ability for everything that we ever need. Isn't that good to know? All these things. Somebody said, well, I don't know whether he could help me with this or not. You just need to go back. You need to take a look at Noah, Elijah. You need to take a look at Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Take a good look along the way. God's able to do what he wants to do. Amen. He works in mysterious ways. It's amazing how God makes things happen sometimes. But can I tell you this? Well, let me say that for right here in just a minute. Not only that, but notice in verse 32, the Bible says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now notice here that he says, I not only will give it to you, I want to give it to you. That's what I tell the kids sometimes, and I tell Chris. I say, if they need it, I want to give it to them. I want to give it to them. You parents understand what I'm talking about. If I'm able to do that, I want to give it to them. I want to be a help. I want to be there. It's my good pleasure. If I can help out, it's my good pleasure to help out. It's not a burden on me. I like to be able to step up. Because one of these days down the road, they'll have those same responsibilities. And it's good to know that God not only is able, but it's his good pleasure to do it. Isn't that good to know? Somebody said, well, preacher, I need it, but I sure hate to ask God. Don't. It's his good pleasure to help you. He wants you to let him know. Look, if you would, what is our role in this? Two things, I'll close. Look in verse 29. Seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of what? Doubtful mind. The first role is this, faith. You got to have faith. Amen. You got to believe. You got to believe he's able. Doubtful mind means that you're not tossed about it. You believe that he wants to. He's worried about it. As a matter of fact, look in verse 32. He says this. He says, what's the first two words? Fear not. That means don't be seized with the trouble of what you're going through. He says, have faith. And can I tell you something about having faith? Now listen to me. And he wants you, the second thing is to be faithful. I'll throw it in after this. Notice here he says to seek. That means to crave something. God says, if you put me first, I will put you first. Can I tell you something? Somebody say, well, you know, preacher, I'm trying to put God first in my life. Can I tell you something about that I found out that I was amazed when I came to this church? And really other places too, but when I came to this church and I started pastoring this church, you know what I was amazed that God did? I came to him and I thought I was putting things first and I thought I was trying to do his will and I thought I was trying to do what needed to be done. And I found out that when I truly got where I was ready to turn over and trust him and serve him and do things, he put me through one of the greatest tests. And several times in the process, he put me through a test to try my faith. At the time, I did not understand because I was of this mindset. God, I'm trying to do what I thought you wanted me to do, and now look what I'm going through. But you see, when I got through with the situation, I had a different mindset. What I found out is that God did more for me during that time than I ever thought it possible to do. I could give you some examples, but I don't want to spend time on it tonight, but I will tell you this. He excelled my expectation when he was through with the whole situation matter. What I'm trying to get you to understand is this. You've got to have faith, and without faith it's impossible to please God. But when you come to him and you're trying to be faithful, the one thing that he'll always just about always do is he'll try your faith, because the trying of your faith is as what? What does it say in the Bible? The trying of your faith is as what? Huh? And it worketh patience, and it also is precious gold. One of the most valuable things that God ever would do for you is try your faith. And if you will make it through that, it will be a reward. You will be blessed. James, that's what he talks about. You'll be blessed when you're tried and you go through this trying. Several of us have gone through these trials. And so what I want you to understand is he wants you to be faithful. But don't be surprised. You say, well, it seemed like everything was going smooth, and then we decided we were going to try to serve God, then boom. Don't be surprised, but look here. Put him first. And what he's saying is, if you put me first, I'll put you first. And what you need, I'm not only able, but it's my good pleasure. And you say, well, I just don't see it happening. Can I tell you, I've struggled through some things for months. There have been some things I've struggled through for years. And then I've seen God work it out. Time doesn't mean anything with God. And so what I'm trying to tell you is this. We have a wonderful Father. He's able to do and meet what we need. But he wants you to trust in him and be faithful to him. And then he'll provide those things that we need. That's why he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things should be added to you. Whatever you need, he'll make sure those things come about. And so we need to learn to do that. Amen. And stand tonight, if you would.
Page 185.
Maybe tonight God spoke to your heart and you need to come. However God may lead with you, would you come tonight?
Wouldn't it good to have...